The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
John chapter 10. We touched upon the first 10 verses. And I said touched upon last week. We hit 10:10. And there is so much misunderstanding of John 10:10. We have so many churches who won't teach John 10:10 because they don't understand not having the abundant life. They don't want to teach the abundant life and what it means. And then there are those who overteach John 10:10. They teach what John 10:10 doesn't say about the abundant life and try to say that if you are not living this particular life, you are living in sin. If you are sick, if you die before a certain age, it's because you are missing out on the abundant life. If you don't have a certain gift, it's impossible for you to live the abundant life. You know what's so amazing? I can't read that in this verse. I can't read that in this verse. So we need to read what's in it. Now, I have already disagreed with how man has broken down these chapters. I've already told you, and we established that last week, that I do not think that chapter 9 should have stopped at verse 41. You know, man decided they wanted to stop it at verse 41 and start a new chapter in chapter 10 with verse 1. John didn't write it that way. He wrote it as a letter. And if man thinks he has the right to break it down that way, I think I have the right to break it down another way. Can I have an amen? Amen. It is just my humble and accurate opinion on that. So, I think that when Jesus talked to the Pharisees and Sadducees at the end of John chapter 9, and they asked, are we blind also in verse 40? He said, well, if you truly didn't see, if you truly didn't understand, your sin would not exist. But since you say you see, your sin remains. In other words, since you refuse to see me and who I am, and you have rejected me and who has sent me, then as you refuse to move forward with me, your sin is remaining. And you are not going to make it into the kingdom. Because let me explain to you again who I am. I'm the good shepherd. Goes into the explanation of chapter 10. Now, explaining that I am the good shepherd, a lot goes along with that. A lot that you and I oftentimes put a little bit to the side. We have heard that Jesus came to give us life, and it came to give us that life more abundantly. Every Christian have heard that. Every Christian, if you've been in church for a while, has heard that in the Word. Where's my high schoolers? Where are you? All right. Now, we've been hanging out on Wednesdays, so they need to know a couple of answers, so you guys got to speak out real loud, right? Don't be ashamed. You can be very loud in your wrongness. Say it with pride and loudness, and most people will think you're right. What is the most important thing that we have been talking about on Wednesday? How important is the Word? How important?
All
What is the only thing that's true about God? Can you guys hear that in the back? You can't hear that in the back, so you guys got to speak up a little loud. How important is the word?
All important.
All important. What is the only thing that's true about God?
What God says about himself.
What God says is true about himself. What is the only place you can find out where God says what is true about him?
In the word.
In the word. Now, if you're getting any truth about God anywhere than the word, you will get wrong information. Do you know that there are many people that would trust their denomination more than they would trust what the word of God has to say? Now, I don't know why I'm nervous about getting ready to drink some water. So we're going to put some verses together. We got to verse 10, and I said we want to break down verse 10 a little bit more. And I want you to hold on to your hats. Can I get an amen? Amen. Because we're going to see what the Bible has to say about this abundancy of life. The thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Who is the thief? Anyone who teaches anything other than Jesus Christ is the only way to God. He comes to steal. He comes to steal what? Your house? Man, when we was growing up, told people, man, when we was growing up, we were so poor, thieves used to break in and leave things. Man, that's a poor family over there. Let's go steal something from them and put over there in that house. So is that the kind of steal we are talking about? It is talking about the fullness of what Jesus has for those who believe in it. They want to kill your abundant life. They want to destroy the opportunity that you have in Jesus. He said, but I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, let me ask you a question. What do you emphasize when you talk about verse 10? Do you emphasize the life, or do you emphasize the abundantly? Come on, don't. God knows, so don't be trying to act spiritual. Amen? When you think about, I have come to give you life, and I want to give it to you more abundantly. As a Christian, of how you've been taught for years, of how you think about this verse, do you concentrate on the life or the abundantly? You think about the abundantly. Now, do you know you can't have the abundantly if you don't understand the life? Now, we got to say, okay, okay, dokie. What's this life business, Pastor? You know what I mean, fingerprint? That's my nickname for one of the high schoolers. She's trying to hide over there from me. You can't hide and sit in the second row, do that. I have come that they might have life. So the gift is the life. And what follows is what comes with the life. And that is not a mediocre life that he gives you. He gives you everything you need, and inside of everything you need, you can live abundantly. Are we getting it? Okay, now watch this. He says, I am, verse 11. That's why I believe that you got to run all the way through, and you can't stop really before you get to verse 12 at best. Maybe 13, but at best, 12. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I came that you may have life. I am the good shepherd, and I gave my life for the sheep. Make the parallel. Have we put those two thoughts together? So how do we live the abundant life with the life the good shepherd gives us? That is, we should spend the majority of our time studying Jesus. Where do you spend the majority of your time? What do you spend the majority of your time on? Doctrine. How to argue with the cults, how to prove that you are right in your thinking. Because you and I can get in the Bible and spend a couple of hours and be no closer to Jesus Christ than before we got in it. Yeah. And we would totally miss out on the abundant life. Should I stop here or should we keep on walking a little bit? Are we getting personal? Because if I'm not getting personal, there's no need in picking up the scripture. Because it's not only abundant life that we're talking about, it is a get-in-your-face personal life that Jesus brings into your life. You know, Jesus, when he moves in to give you abundant life, expects you to submit to everything he says. He gets pushy. He tells you who you can date, who you can't. That's the abundant life. He'll tell you who you can marry, who you can't marry. That's the abundant life. He'll tell you how you ought to react to your wife. He tells you how you ought to react to your husband. The abundant life. And some of us don't want to enjoy the abundant life because I got something blocking me and Jesus, a spouse. Can somebody say amen? Come on, come on, come on. A job. And I'm not talking about the Old Testament book. Our singleness. You know what? I've heard people get more upset about marrying the wrong person they think as a Christian than going 24 hours and not knowing and getting any closer to Jesus Christ. The man you gave me, Lord. The woman you gave me. The job I have. The missed opportunity to get promoted. I gave my life for the sheep. So if he came to give you life, what life? According to verse 11, him. You know the danger of accepting Jesus Christ without accepting Christ? The danger of accepting a Savior without accepting the Lord? Now, if you understand it or not, really doesn't matter. Well, I accept him as my Savior. Guess what? He doesn't come 50%. He moves in as Lord. He's going to give you an opportunity now to learn that as you study about him. Now, there's a lot of good other stuff in the Bible. Amen? Amen. It's written in there. But why do we study it? To know how our Savior works. That's the abundant life. Well, what about these gifts? What about some money? Come on now. Talk to me about the abundant life. Abundant life means I got a wallet so thick and it sticks so far out of my back pocket, I got signals on it. Watch out. I'm getting ready to turn and my wallet's coming. Anybody want to disagree with the pastor? I want to be able to heal. I want to give the healing. You know why God don't give us some of these gifts anymore? Because we're using them for our own good. I don't know about you, but every person that told me that they've had the gift of healing in my lifetime has died. Can I get an amen? Physician, heal thyself. I guess that goes along. Faith healer, heal yourself. Gifts aren't given for you. They're given for the body to bring glory to who is the life. And why is it that the only gifts we really get excited about is the high experiential gifts that everyone can see? No one gets excited about the gift of helps. Can I have an? What's your gift? Helps, proud of it. Give me an opportunity, sir. Get out of there. I pick that chair. You know, a lot of men come to the first service so they don't have to carry chairs after the second. My gift is direction. Hey, go get that pile of chairs over there and hurry back. I got a nothing for you. I shouldn't be. The Bible shouldn't be personal. Amen? Shouldn't give us practical ways to live for Jesus. Oh, look at this one. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, who's own the sheep, the shepherd is own the sheep, but the hireling don't. They see the wolf coming, and what do? They run and flee. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. Anyone can give me a good definition of a hireling? How about a Christian that don't study their Bible in 24 hours? Would you consider that a hireling? Would you consider yourself a hireling? Don't pick the Bible up for a week. Because you are a shepherd to those who are watching you. Those hireling, I don't like those hireling. And you walk by a mirror and walk by a hireling in the mirror. Oh, you can't call me you're getting personal now. I'm going to go find me a church to give me a nice sermon. Make me feel good about doing nothing. Am I getting too personal, honey? She learned last week, don't speak. And she kept trying last week. I pretended like I didn't see her. More abundantly, the shepherd. You know, we talked about there was three views in the Bible that calls Jesus a shepherd. Now, I can just give them to you, and I know you trust me to know that, you know, that the Bible, if Pastor says it, you know, it's got to be true. It's like the internet. It's like the internet, you know, oh, praise be to Jesus. Pastor said, who do you trust in this church? Or what should you trust compared to who? Do you trust me more than the Bible? If you ever start doing that, leave. Because you're not a good congregant. If you're not going to test what I say with the word of God, you don't make me a good pastor, you make me a hireling. And I would appreciate not having that title around my name. Is that okay? Here in John chapter 10, verse 11, he is called the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep, that you may have that life, and that you may have it more abundantly. Last week, we went to see what that life was. Galatians. You remember that? You want to take a real quick peek, real quick? Because we got some serious verses to do, right? Just a closer walk with thee. Help me, Jesus, if you please. Anybody got a record label? Want to call them? Verse 22 and 23 of Galatians 5. Now, this life here in 22 and 23 comes with Jesus. Can't hear you. This life in Galatians 22 and 23 comes with Jesus. Now, if you're not living these things consistently in your life, it's because you're trying to live a substitute abundant life. But the spirit, fruit of the spirit is, someone say, love. All I need is love. All of us know that song. Can I have an amen? All I need is love. Jesus is love. And then they want to stop there. If you really want to show Jesus, show love. Even sinners would throw that line at you. Don't know nothing about God, don't know nothing about church, but they heard that God is love. And what you're doing to me is not very lovely. What's this love we're talking about here? It is the ability to care about someone with insight and right thinking. Is to be able to care correctly. It is to be able to sacrifice yourself for someone else. That's the life that comes with Jesus for you and me. How many of us want to live that life? That's abundant life. Ooh, how about this one? Joy. I don't want joy. I want some happiness. Can I have an amen? Come on, Christians. When you think about the abundant life, you want joy or you want happiness? You give me these spiritual answers in here, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. When I think about it, man, if I don't think Christ's way, the abundant life I get with Christ, I think about happiness. Happiness makes me comfortable. Happiness gives me a whole bunch in the savings account. So if God don't come through, I can still make it. Joy is the inward peace that cannot be moved, directed by the Spirit of God, regardless of what's happening to you outside. Abundant life. Joy is not an emotion, it's a state of being. Now, you know, I wouldn't mind having some love and some joy and some happiness, but it's not in the list. Well, you're just a sadist, Pastor. No, I just think God can do whatever he wants and it's fine with me. Somebody said it better be. Man, you're really pushing it up here, brother. It's all right. I'll get you out to the service. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Your peace? Peace. What's a good biblical definition of the abundant life of peace? Flower child? That's not biblical peace. That's sin. Because it comes along with gunji. One way to get to see Jesus. Remember Tom Harris, our friend? He said, man, he was so high, guy comes and started talking to him about Jesus. He thought the guy was Jesus. Remember that? Peace is the other side of joy. It's the other side of joy. It's the food for joy. Not happiness. There's a calmness. It's almost like you're comatose in the midst of the storm. Woo! Somebody say amen to the path. Yeah. Don't you want the abundant life? Well, you need to know what it is. You can't have it without Jesus. Try it. Mm-hmm. It won't work. What was that, Rockefeller? One of the richest guys in the world? Yeah. So how much money does it take to be rich? You know what he said? Just a little bit more than what I got. I said, can I try that for a while? Peace. Oh, how about this one? Long suffering. Someone talk to me. It didn't say short suffering. It didn't say long peace. Can I have an amen? I want to know the Philippians chapter 3. I want to know the fellowship of his suffering. There's a lot of fellowship I want. I think there's a lot more I can choose than the fellowship of his suffering. You know what Jesus did? He gave his life for the sheep. Guess what he wants you and I to do in our abundant life? Give our life for the sheep. Don't you wish that this was a short sermon? long suffering. This is a long suffering sermon. Why didn't the youth worship a lot more? Thanks, Joe. You're going to be long-suffering in the office this week. Let me see if I can break it down for you, because it's hard to use it in the English language. It is broken down, makrothumeo, means makrothumos. This isn't a patience type that most people translate it, patience. No. See, patience, you have no control over certain patients. You're waiting on that new job. You're going to be patient, whether you're feeling patient or not, because you have no control over that. Right. You're going to be patient. Can I get an amen? God is saying, you want to be patient? I just make the job wait 4 more months. So there's a certain type of patience that's put on our backs, and we have nothing to do with. That's not that. This is a chosen, in the spirit, long-suffering. The ability to suffer for a long time under a heavy burden without your countenance changing. Many of us have that. That's abundant life. What can make a man fear death when there's no fear in death for him? You know, I can kill you. Really? Come on. You're going to regret it after you do it. I'm going to be happy. But I got a God that can make you into a piece of toast. Come on. Come on. Now, it would be stupid to go running across some position in Tel Aviv right now. Say, come on. Shoot a missile. Shoot. Duck that one. To put myself in that position that God didn't put me in. That's putting God to the test that he never asked. That's not long suffering. That's stupidity. Should we? We got another 20 minutes. I know some of you got a lot of information right now. Should we? Forward? Okay. Now, this is abundant life we're talking about. How you lacked along the abundant life so far? Gentleness. Oh, my land. Help me on this one. Somebody, come on. Help me. Somebody walks up in your face, start telling you stuff. Oh, I remember when I was a rookie with the Dallas Cowboys. And they had this big picture on Monday in the Dallas Times. Christian loses his Christianity. Because I'm in this fight with this fullback from the Cardinals. And man, we are just going at it. And they got this big picture, and I got my hand back and got him down on the ground. And, you know, the first thing goes through your mind is, don't hit him in the helmet with your fist. Now, I'm not that mad. Can I have an amen? I'm going to be that stupid. But they caught it right on camera, man. And, I mean, they called me the religious demon my rookie year. So they're on me, man. They come in, papers, want to do interviews. And I'm just going, and Coach Landry says, well, you just got to stay under control. So they come in, they says, don't you supposed to turn the other cheek? I said, he hit me in both of them. I didn't have any more cheeks to give. God picked on me all game for being a Christian. I'll show you what a Christian can do. Was that gentleness? Did I lose my gentleness? Come on, someone tell. Did I lose my gentleness? Why? How do you know I lost my gentleness? The action says that I lost my gentleness. Am I right? When I stand up and tell someone to their face on the news or somewhere else, it's sin. You're wrong. You need to repent. Did I lose my gentleness? What's the difference? Both instances, the paper said I lost my gentleness. What is my motivation? That's what dictates whether you lose your gentleness. Not to give an answer to people sometimes that you really want to give. That is being controlled by the Spirit of God and showing, Pastor, you just get pushed around. They take advantage of you. That's a good sentence on my tombstone. This was one man that knew people was trying to take advantage of him and let them think they were. That's gentleness. I have to live it in front of you, whether I like it or not. I had to live it in front of Christ because that's the life he gave me. Mm-hmm. Oh, goodness. Uh-oh. Somebody help me. Goodness. Mm-hmm. You know what goodness is? It is driven from a love of others so greatly that you would do for them what they do not deserve. That's the abundant life. That's what God expects out of you and I. That's what we got in John 10:10. From the good shepherd in John 10:11. Not from a hireling in John 10:12. Goodness. A soul, a deep down faith. Ephesians says that God gave us faith, didn't come from us even to accept him. Because it takes faith, if you don't believe it, to accept this abundant life. To live it. Because I know it's real hard to understand. But how many of these fruit show you benefit from it? It is for you to have and to give away. To show others that you're not like them. We talked about meekness last week. Power under control. Talk to me. Got that Rottweiler. You walk in my yard. Puckin. That's German for bite him. He takes off running full speed and he's growling. And he's getting ready to tear you up. And you go, 9. Plots. And he stops and drops. That's meekness. That's power under control. Don't mean weakness. My horse under that bridle. Power under control. My black diesel truck with a Christian right foot. Can I have an amen, somebody? That's meekness. That's power under control. this one. Self-control, against such there is no law. The greatest paradox in self-control is there's no self from you in it. You can't have biblical self-control and be involved in it yourself. Biblical self-control is to have self by the Spirit, not an issue in decision making. That's the abundant life. Against such, there is no law. Good shepherd. That's the good shepherd. I wish we had time to spend as much time with the next two, but we'll just have a verse just to prove to you as we get ready to move through chapter 10. The great shepherd. Jesus is called the good shepherd. He's called the great shepherd. Now it's in, come on, brain, kick in. It's in Hebrews. Somebody I know right now has got that little Google. No, that's the third. I'm looking for, hey, no, I can remember how far light travels in a day. Yeah, 16 billion, 70 million, 400,000 miles in a day, and I can't remember Hebrews 13, 20. That's it, isn't it? I set that up because I know a lot of you guys going out there, oh, he's getting senile. I want to play along with you a little bit. Hebrews. Why do we know that Jewish people like coffee? Because Hebrews. That's why God. I heard that. Over at Moody, they got their coffee shop. It's called Hebrews. I thought it was cute. So I had to steal it. Verse 20, Hebrews 13. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Do you think God is serious about his son? And you and I understanding what we got, that life, and how abundantly he wants us to spend learning about it? Him. When I go to the scriptures, I want to know God better when I get out. If I study God, I got all the answers to the doctrines and the cults and everything else. Can't hear you. Then he's called the chief shepherd. That's 1 Peter. Peter, my man. Chapter 5. All right, I hear them leaves out there. Verse 4. And whom the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that findeth not, that faded not away. When you can't see too good, find it and fade it is pretty close. The chief shepherd. Can I have an amen? Amen. What are the three names for the shepherd? Good shepherd, where is that? John 10:11. Good shepherd. Then we got the great shepherd. Where is that? Hebrews 13:20. And then we have the chief shepherd. Where is that? 1 Peter 5:4. If you guys already knew those verses, I didn't even have to give them to you. You guys are smoking, man. Whew. Well, I enjoy walking through the scriptures with you. How can anyone think that expository preaching, verse by verse, can be boring? Because there's not enough stories. Maybe we put some pictures. Rewrite the verses. Don't be an hireling. Have the abundant life. It's an awesome life. And don't leave here without remembering one thing. The abundant life isn't about what you have or don't have. It's about who you know and don't know. Father, thank you so much for being our God. You are awesome. Awesome. And we praise you for it. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.